September the 11th, 2012. I am Steve Groek, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Groek.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news. And as of this recording, we're about 13 hours removed from a very scary situation last night at Raw, where WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler collapsed. And, of course, Gerweck.net is providing you all the latest updates. So you can definitely check Gerweck.net for any developing stories and updates on the King. We do pray for the King. Very scary situation with WWE Raw last night. And one guy that did happen to see it is my guest today. And we invited him back because we've had him on a couple of times. We've got such great responses because he's a man that will speak his mind. He, of course, was in the military, served his country, and had a stint with TNA and is out there wrestling independently, working a lot of shows. We welcome back our good friend, Jesse Neal. How you doing today, Jesse?
Good, brother. How about you, man?
We're doing really good. And I asked you right before we went on, did you happen to see Raw last night? I guess maybe your thoughts on the show and what you hear about the King right now.
Yeah, it was definitely, because you've seen something going on in the background that you don't never normally see. And, of course, when any wrestler or any talent or anybody like collapses like that, it's definitely a scary moment. And it's live TV, man, too. So every one of us, man, I've seen a lot of tweets last night, a lot of thoughts and prayers go out to Lawler. And, you know, just like the boys, man, we get together and you know, we send out our prayers and hope for the best.
Yeah, I'd like to also send out my thoughts and prayers to Brian Christopher, who, of course, is Jerry the King's son, who we had on as a guest a few months back. You can check out our archives at Gerweck.net. A very good guest, a very lively, entertaining guy. And I know, you know, he's had his problems with his dad over the years. But, you know, at the same time, you pray for his father at this situation, an unfortunate situation.
Yep.
We got a chance to see the King wrestle, and then 30 minutes later, he collapsed. So,
yeah,
you know, again,
we
definitely keep the King in our prayers, and of course, his immediate family, his sons, his girlfriend. I know Stacy the Cat Carter has been tweeting as well. So, you know, keep all those people in your prayers right now. It's a very, you know, it's 24 hours is the very pivotal time after a surgery. You know, he's got a stent put in. He's heavily sedated as of this recording. So it's a very pivotal time, you know, in his recovery. So we wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, definitely a lot of love, a lot of thoughts, a lot of prayers go out to him.
Absolutely. And to go on a little bit of a lighter note, Jesse, of course, has been popping up on a lot of independent shows. He's been kind of linking to some of the shows that he's appearing on, some of the posters I've seen, you know, flashed around from promoters that running shows, especially down the Florida way. Jesse's been keeping busy. What you been up to since we talked to you last several months ago?
Basically just working real hard on the indies, man, working my craft and reinventing myself and getting in really good shape now, I'll tell you that. And just hanging out with the boys, man, just getting back to, you know, the indies and working really hard down here in Florida and working well with the indies down here in Florida. So it's been a lot of fun. Now I'm down here in Miami. I'm still from Orlando, but I'm down here in Miami for a little bit, just hanging out, you know, enjoying the beach, enjoying a couple of shows down here with some good friends.
What's your schedule look like right now? How many dates are you currently working wrestling-wise?
Right now I have two really good dates coming up. The 22nd, not this Saturday, but next Saturday, down here in Deerfield, Florida. Really good, like, family-oriented show for FOW. there's going to be a lot of cops and a lot of local firefighters there. We do a lot of, you know, stuff for the community and stuff like that and put on a really good show there. So that's September 22nd, Deerfield, Florida, for Future of Wrestling FOW. So that's really a lot of fun. Boys get together. We just have a really good show and stuff and really beat the crap out of each other for the fans. And then I got a really good one September 29th up in New York in the Vermont area. Got a couple of signings, actually having a wrestling seminar also, and a really good show, SAW. So a lot of good things, man, coming up. Definitely keeping me busy and just having fun with it, man. You know what I mean? Just no politics, just having fun.
Yeah, obviously with all these indie dates, you get a chance to, you know, meet a lot of the fans that you didn't meet when you were in TNA. I just wondered, and obviously you're very personable man and, mm-hmm. and character. What do the fans ask you? What kind of interaction do you have with the fans right now?
Nothing but good things, man. A lot of, like, leaving the other company, the real story really hasn't, you know, people are kind of questioning, of course, because you know how stories go in wrestling. They never really get the actual real story. But, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, why I left and what happened, this and that, stuff like that. You know, it was just time for me to go. You know, I felt like, you know, I had, you know, some family stuff that I, you know, wanted to take care of, and also some career stuff I wanted to take care of. And just, like I said, reinvent myself. And it was just time to leave. I just felt like it was time to go and just find myself in this business. Because, I mean, I'm still young in this business, and I have a long, hard road, you know, go down. So, and I'm ready for it.
I think the last time we spoke to you, that you had some hopes of, you know, possibly, you know, the other company maybe calling you or reaching out to you. Have you heard anything on that front?
I'm just like everybody else, really. You know, just throwing my resumes and hope for the best, and just hoping I get that phone call and stuff. And, you know, I've been talking to a lot of people and working real hard, and you know, just being ready if that phone call really does come. I also put some resumes out over Japan, too. So, you know, I'm just, like I said before, just, you know, trying to stay busy with indies, having fun, and, you know, and be ready for that phone call if it does come, just like anybody else.
You know, looking back now that you've been away from TNA for a while, any regrets about what you did and leaving the company?
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, just like I said, I was young in the business, and it was a very hard decision to leave that company and stuff. I mean, you know, being so new, I was only there for 3 years. You know, I had 2 more years on my contract, but, you know, I just, like I said, I just felt like it was time for me to go. You know, there's no burnt bridges there. Do I regret it? At first, you know, because it was a big decision that I had to make, and I was like, oh, I can't believe, you know, people would, you know, kill for an opportunity like this and stuff, and what I went through just to, you know, get an opportunity like that. But, you know, it comes a time in your life where, you know, you want more, you know what I mean? You just, you know, you have your goals, you got to hit your goals. And if you're not hitting your goals, then what are you doing in this business? You know? So, you know, I felt like it was the right time for me to go and reinvent myself and hopefully become a bigger star.
Since you've left, obviously they have gone to a live Impact formats on Thursday nights live from 8 to 10. That's a little different than when you were there. Obviously they were doing that insane taping schedule where they would tape, you know, 2, 3, 4 editions of Impact ahead of time, which I never quite understood because
yeah.
You know, spoilers are out and people could see the results, you know, 2, 3 weeks ahead of time. But
definitely agree.
But now
with, there, yeah.
Yeah, with the new format, I just wondered if, you know, obviously keep up with the product. What do you think of the kind of the new Impact Wrestling right now?
To be honest, I haven't been watching it. But and no, nothing, you know, bad or anything like that. It's just, you know, I met a lot of good dudes there, you know, a lot of good people, a lot of good friends there, and it just makes me miss it more, you know what I mean, the boys, you know what I mean, because, you know, a lot of them took me under their wing and, you know, really worked hard with me and stuff like that and brought me to where I am today, you know, and I definitely appreciate every single one of them. They're awesome, and hopefully work with them one day down the road. So it's kind of like it makes me miss it even more if I watch it. So, but I've been hearing about it, and live always brings out, you know, more in a person. And if you never really experience it, you don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, from being taped, you always have that security blanket. And of course, I do agree with you, the spoilers and stuff like that. And it kind of ruins it for the fans, I think, because they already know what's going to happen because it already been taped. But live, when that red light's on and you know it's live, it brings something out of a person, and for me, I loved it, man. I loved it when it was live, and it brought really good stuff out of me, and it was a lot of fun, and we had a good time doing it. So I definitely agree with the live tapings and stuff like that. So it could be nothing but good things.
I think one of the biggest criticisms I think when you are critiquing TNA, and if you critiqued TNA over the years, has been some of the illogical storylines and some of the progressions just don't make a lot of sense. And, of course, they did this storyline with – Clara Lynch storyline with AJ Styles there. And I think a lot of people were very negative on it. And it's just,
yeah.
Because I think when they went live, they put a little more into the show. Mm-hmm. It felt it was fresh. It was newer. And then they do these storylines where it seems like it's still the old TNA again. It's like they have new management or they have new writers or a new head writer, but at the same time, when he goes back to, it's still TNA, it's still the same illogical storylines, storylines we don't like. Mm-hmm. And then yeah, at the same time, you know, I'm a real big Austin Aries fan, so I'm very happy to see Austin Aries get that TNA championship.
Yeah, he's an amazing wrestler. He's really good.
Yeah, another former Ring of Honor guys, because we've seen all these Ring of Honor guys do real well on WWE and TNA. You know, Samoa Joe and Austin Aries and Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, and so it's good to see him get a run. But at the same time, it's kind of a mixed bag, I think, with TNA. There's a lot. There's certainly good things you like about the product, but at the same time, they still do those storylines that just make you scratch your head.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the good things. I consider it a good thing about wrestling because it keeps viewers viewing, you know what I mean? Because you never know what you're going to get, and it's like you want to believe it. You want to get emotionally involved, and that's the thing about storylines. You've got to get them emotionally involved, and you know what? You're not going to win them all, you know what I mean? And it's always good to see that one or two storylines that, you know, people really get emotionally involved, you know, and it works. And, you know, you get more viewers, you make money, and everybody's happy. But, of course, you're going to have some that stink and stuff like that. But that's the wrestling business.
Yeah. Just curious, you saw Raw. I just wonder if you've been watching WWE and thoughts on what they're currently doing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've been watching, you know, Raw and SmackDown and stuff and keeping up with WWE and stuff. And I like what they're going with. I mean, I like CM Punk and John Cena's thing about respect, because it's not hokey. You know what I mean? It's not the promos that are coming out of those guys are amazing. Like even last night with you know all the circumstances that they had to deliver because the show must go on no matter what. John Cena delivered last night, man. That was an amazing promo that he did, I believe. And with CM Punk involved, I mean, CM Punk, he's a great wrestler, great on the mic. I mean, it's a lot of truth coming out, you know what I mean? And that's ratings right there. And I think that's really good. The whole storyline with like Kane and Daniel Bryan, I think it's hilarious. It like the shrink that they have there is awesome. I mean, it keeps people viewing, man. It keeps them wanting to come back after that commercial and see what's going on and stuff. So I think it's really well. And then, like, now they just come out with Sheamus, that brogue kick is banned now and stuff like that. That's controversy people are looking at, and it's like, okay, he's been doing it for a couple of years. Now who's coming out and saying it's banned? Why are they doing that? I mean, it's building the confusion, the controversy, it's making fans, like, want to view back to see what happens next time, either after a commercial or next week or stuff like that. So nothing but good things could come from that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the right word, but I thought it was kind of ironic last night that they were in Montreal and Bret Hart was back, and it was kind of a big night because it was, you know, obviously the screw job. And and at the same time with what was going on with the King, it was that very eerie feeling. I don't know if you saw the pay-per-view that Owen Hart passed away over the Edge pay-per-view, where you knew something, you know, when you were watching it live, you knew something wasn't right. You didn't know exactly what it was, and you didn't know if it was part of the storyline because – because, you know, sometimes in wrestling, you're supposed to believe pretty much everything that's going on. So you don't know if this is storyline or if this is what was really going on.
Yep.
And so you're watching this pay-per-view, but yet you're going, okay, what's going on with Owen? What's the update?
Right.
How's he doing?
And the boys are the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, being out there and you still have to perform like, you know, nothing happened or anything. The pressure of it I couldn't even imagine it because I haven't really gone through anything like that, but just being out there and knowing what's going on, and of course we all care and stuff like that, you know, no matter what's going on. But it's like when like Del Rio came out, I think it was right after or something, wasn't it? I think like literally right after he collapsed, like you could just tell even in the match that he collapsed in, because you've seen the referee look over and, you know, the boys look over and stuff, and they still had to, it was in the middle of a match. I couldn't even imagine that. It wasn't even, you know, like during a segment or like a TV segment or something like that, a promo segment or something. It was during a match, and like the show must go on. You know what I mean? And I couldn't even understand the pressure that, you know, the boys had to go through with that. But you know what? They came through. But like you said, that eerie feeling, you could feel it even just coming off the TV and sitting there, just like, you know, a wrestler like myself, I felt it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just an eerie feeling because, you know, your thoughts aren't, you know, 100% into the match. It's about what's going on with Lawler. Is he okay? Is everything all right? You know?
Yeah. Cause I just flashed back to that pay-per-view and just wondering what was going on with Owen, and then last night, as soon as you found out what was going on with Jerry the King Lawler, and he collapsed, and you know, everybody's tweeting. I know there's people that were at ringside that were saying, yeah, you know, he collapsed, and the EMTs came out, and it sounds like the EMTs pretty much saved his life, which is, you know, God bless them today.
Yeah, there was actually doctors right there beside him, you know, because they have doctors right by the ring now and stuff, so. You know, they were. He had immediate attention, and the MTs came back and they grabbed him. And you know, they acted fast. And you know what? They saved his life. You know what I mean? So that's a very good thing that they acted very fast and did their job.
Yeah. And then just to finish up, you know, just the eerie feeling, because it brought me back to Owen Hart's situation. And then you know, once you know a real life situation is going on. I remember that pay-per-view, and I remember there was the biggest matches of the show were coming up, the main event. I remember Steve Austin was in the main event. I don't remember what the match was.
Yeah.
I remember Stone Cold was in the main event, and, of course, at that time, Stone Cold was just super red hot.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he heard about Owen, I couldn't care less about Stone Cold Steve Austin. No
right.
offense to him.
No, exactly.
But, like, you know, last night, it's the last hour of the show, and everybody wants to know, you know, I'm getting texts, I'm getting emails, I'm getting tweets, you know, what's going on with Lawler? And it's like, who cares about the show? And,
right.
and you're right. But at the same time, it's the performers. They got an hour to go. They got, you know, Booker T is coming out there, and, mm-hmm. Del Rio is coming out there, and obviously the main event segment with John Cena and Bret Hart coming out there to do that angle. You know,
yep.
Hats off to those performers. Because I remember the night after Owen died was mm-hmm. Raw was Owen. Raw is Owen. Was you know,
yeah.
It was just a so emotional show. People were just crying, and they're trying to perform a show, and it's,
mm-hmm.
I tell you, you guys are warriors, because that's a tough situation, because, you know, for a lot of us, when somebody dies, we can grieve in our own ways, and all of a sudden,
right.
suddenly the camera's on you, you're like, go out there and perform.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't even know what's going on.
Yeah,
no?
You have to shut it off, shut that part off, and go do your job. Yeah, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, you know, this kind of, you know, brings me back to, as I was saying, the Owen Hart situation, and it also kind of reminds me with today being 9/11, it's September
yeah.
the 11th, 2012, 11 years after 9/11, and I guess the first question always comes to my mind is, you know, where were you that day, and how did you learn of the tragedy?
Oh, I was actually still in the service. I was at, we just got back from our bombing back in October and stuff like that, and I got some, because our ship was, you know, still in dry dock and stuff getting fixed for a while. And I was doing some electrical work and stuff, because that's what I did in school and stuff while I was in the military. And basically, I went from my my building and went to all the different ships and actually helped them fix certain stuff that they needed help with. And I was actually in the building. We were there, and we seen it come on the TV, and we immediately went on lockdown. And, you know, to be honest with you, I freaked out a little bit, you know, because it was still fresh in my mind about the bombing and stuff, and literally, you know, that stuff's going on, so all that was going through my head. So it was definitely a crazy time on base, and they released that, you know, there's other places that they wanted to hit and stuff, so we were on high alert and ready to go, you know, if we had to. And it was a crazy time and a crazy feeling, you know. It scared a lot of people, but it brought back a lot of bad memories. And but it also brought something good, where we all came together as a team, and we worked together, you know, to protect, you know, what we need to protect.
And you look back too. I remember after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
how, you know, right now we're in a political race. Obviously, there's two candidates that are running for president.
Yep.
I don't really remember a time that the United States has been more divided than it has been.
Yes.
I know we've always had debates with Republicans and Democrats, but I really don't remember a time when we're just like so divided as a country, and we've,
mm-hmm.
you know, we've heard about Obama was maybe he could reunite the American people. You know, he was the first, you know, African American president. Maybe he could
yeah.
bring the country together. And after 4 years of him, I feel like we're more divided than we ever have been. And I can think back to after 9/11, you know, 9/12,
mm-hmm.
how we felt like American pride that we
yeah.
were U.S. We could beat these people. We were on top. We could. You know, okay, we let our pants down for 5 seconds, but we were going to overcome this. We were going to get
mm-hmm.
those responsible for these tragedies. We were Americans. We weren't Republicans. We weren't Democrats.
Yeah.
We weren't conservatives, liberals, and all these other tags we come up with.
I think
we were Americans.
Right. I think
you know?
The problem is that when something happens like that, like a lot of people didn't know that Cole got bombed pretty much, you know, but the people that did, you know, we band together, you know, and we remember what happened and stuff. But time, I guess, always heals things for most people that's not even involved. And they tend to forget, like 9/11. I mean, obviously nobody forgets the day it happened and stuff. But like you just said, like we came together as Americans, not whites, blacks, Hispanics, you know, races and beliefs. We came together as Americans, you know, we came together as human beings, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, fighting terrorists terrorism don't see a color. They don't see a belief. They just, you know, they want to go in there and kill as many people as they want, you know, no matter who they are. And we came together as Americans and human beings, and it kind of faded, I believe, you know what I mean? And that's the problem with, you know, what we're used to doing, because people that they live by watching TV, they live by, you know, seeing what's on the news and this and that. And when it slowly just fades away, it fades away in their mind too. You know what I mean? But then when 9/11 comes around, everybody's like all happy again. That's why I always say I don't like Christmas. And it's not a very good comparison, but to me it is. Like all year long, you know, people fight, people don't care, they don't, you know what I mean, that type of thing, you know, and it's on a small level, you know what I mean, people don't really see it, but it happens. But then when Christmas comes together, they're all out shopping, they're all out merry and happy and just, oh yay, let's buy this person a present, when all they do is talk crap about this person behind their back, or you know what I mean, and their family members and stuff. So I always compare it to like Christmas. I don't like Christmas because of that. You know what I mean? Yeah, Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, it's all great. But then the next day, nobody remembers, nobody cares. They're back to talking crap or, you know, living their inside their little bubble and stuff like that. And that's why I always say, you know, people should pop that bubble and come out and, you know, actually have their own beliefs and have their own opinions and not be afraid. And, you know, so don't like
those weird people. Those weird people you only see go to church at Christmas time too. That always,
and that, you know, too. Like they're like one, like Easter.
Where,
they just go
where
to
are they?
Christmas
the other 11
Easter
months
or something or Christmas. But,
yeah. Right.
Well, where's your belief all the other days in the year? You know, but no, they just go back to their 9 to 5 and go back to their, you know, routine. That I think that's the problem with everybody, is that they, not everybody obviously, but you know, a lot of the people, they, you know, they're too used to routine. Well, why not break it up every now and then? Enjoy life, because it doesn't last forever. Like, you know, that's why I always say, you know, live for today. You know what I mean? Because you never know when it's gone, and when it's gone, it's gone. Like, there's no coming back. So,
well, I think you hit the nail on the head, especially, you know, watching, you know, Raw, you know, to put it a parallel to wrestling. You know,
yeah.
Jerry the King is in the ring. 30 minutes later, he's collapsing and fighting for his life, and then
yeah.
Obviously. Maybe flashback to Owen Hart. I mean, in just one instant, the guy's life was gone.
You never know.
The guy at the height of his career, you know, and
yep.
He had his family, and he wanted to be a fireman, and he wanted to get out of wrestling eventually. He just, you know, moved into his dream house, and
mm-hmm.
Within an instant, it's all gone. He's
yeah.
gone.
And I mean, that's just in wrestling. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, a 7-Eleven attendant, you know what I mean? Something small and minute as that. You never know when that person comes in and tries to rob or something, and boom, that changes somebody's life when you're looking down the barrel of a gun, you know what I mean? Or even a car accident going to work or any job you go to, you know, you never know. And so the things in life, people just got to appreciate, man. And wrestling, any move in that ring could be the last, you know, but we still go out there and we still entertain because of the wrestling. We love the business, you know, for the fans and stuff. And we go out there and do our thing.
And just another wrestling analogy, I think of Dutch Mantel's daughter, granddaughter,
mm-hmm.
Just passed away. She was 16 years old.
Yes.
That's not good, you know, hit by a car. I mean, a guy who shouldn't be on the streets, guy should be locked up.
Yes.
Goes 70
exactly.
miles an hour and slams into her, and she's gone.
Exactly.
You know,
like,
and
you look at situations like that. And Dutch Mantel's an awesome guy. You know, I met him
in
TNA, so he's an amazing guy. I never got to meet her, but. You know, it's so tragic how somebody innocent and somebody that has their whole life ahead of them, and she could have did something so great in her life, and then some dirtbag piece of crap, you know what I mean,
yep.
makes one wrong decision or how many wrong decisions to get to that point in their life to take somebody so innocent. You know, it infuriates me. Like even when I go to the gym or something like that, and I see somebody acting like a fool or an idiot, you know, I got to step in and say something. You know, that's just that's just who I am, you know what I mean? And what I, because I hate that, because you never know what it can actually lead to, you know, and just hearing something like that is, it's just tragic, because it makes you open your eyes, like the people that know about the story and live that, you know, live, you know, Dutch Mantel's family and stuff like that. It makes you open your eyes and see, man, this world is very fragile. You know what I mean? You never know what's waiting around that corner.
And if Dutch is listening, I know he's a friend of ours. If
Definitely.
He's listening, you know, God bless you and your family, because I've been feeling for you. I know he's been posting, you know, a lot of pictures of his granddaughter on Facebook. I guess it's therapeutic for him.
Yeah.
What a beautiful, you know, beautiful girl she was. That's really just a real tragedy. And
definitely.
To backstep a little bit to what she was talking about, you know, after 9/11, we came together as an American, family, to a larger degree. You know, we were reunited. You know, that reunited us.
Mm-hmm.
And within a short time, I don't know how long, but we were just back to where we were, like nothing had happened anymore.
Well,
and,
I mean, I look at it as this way, like we reunited enough to make a decision to go to war.
Right.
And then once we went to war, where's the family? Where's the support?
Well,
because we're sending men and women overseas to fight our battle. You know what I mean?
Maybe that was a cop out. You know, we were all upset. We're going to get these people, and then okay, we send the troops over. Then my worries are over, because they're going to get them.
Yeah, and
right?
That's the thing. Like everybody, they go back to their 9-to-5 saying, "Oh, the American fighting, you know, army and military or whatever is over there fighting our battles. We can go back to our lives and be feeling that safe feeling and stuff like that." And I get a little angry every time I think of that, because it's just Why can't people just open their eyes and see what's really going on out there? Like I said before, I was watching something on Nat Geo the other day, and everything on TV is about 9/11 right now, and showing the terrorist attacks and the hate, and something like that happened is very, very tragic. I understand people lost their families. I've lost, you know, I lost my best friend in a terrorist attack, and family member, you know, my shipmates are my family, I believe, and we lost 17 hell of human beings we lost way too soon. And so I know, I feel that. I was there. I know. But is it really worth all this killing that we've been doing and what they've been doing and everybody else has been doing for how many years now? I mean, is it really worth that? I don't get it. Like, and it makes people, man, whoever listens to this, they you don't have to listen to my opinions. I mean, you might get mad at my opinions, you might like my opinions, but it's an opinion. I'm an American. I'm allowed to have that opinion. So are you. You know, so you don't have to take my opinion and base your opinion off of mine. Base your opinion off your beliefs, your feelings, what you see, what you think. You know, and I just honestly, I don't think it's worth all this killing and all this needless violence that has no use for it. That's why I like, you know, WWE when they go over and they do tribute to the troops. And I've always said this, that tribute to the troops would be my WrestleMania. You know, everybody's like, oh, my goal is, you know, WrestleMania and holding the belt up and this and that. But mine is tribute to the troops, man, because they're over there fighting our battles, man. And to go over there and to entertain them, that would be – I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it right now, and I always do because that's all I've been thinking about lately. And that would be – that's my end game, man. That's like the end of all this pain and suffering of all these years of feeling – you know, and nightmares and post-traumatic stress and all that stuff. Me going out that curtain for WWE at Tribute to the Troops would do so much healing for me and my best friend. And if that right there would just, it's so emotional, as you can tell now, sorry, but that right there moves mountains for me.
As I've always said, you know, if you're on the street, you're out in public, if you see somebody that's been in the military or is in the military, go up and thank them for their service. I mean, because, you know, and I thank Jesse for his service, because, you know, you guys are in the trenches. You guys are fighting for our freedoms right now. And we can't forget that. You know, it's like you send all these troops to Afghanistan and Iraq and all over the world. We got military bases from pretty much everywhere around the world.
Well,
don't forget about these
now,
people. Yeah. Yeah. And don't forget about these people, especially on a day like today, you know, 9/11, that as a result of what happened, regardless of what really happened, I mean, you guys are putting your lives on the line every single day.
Yep.
and you have an arm's blown off, and you're bleeding, and you know, they put you on all these medications and drugs, and it's just,
and you don't even know what it is, man. You don't even like I almost lost my left arm in the explosion. I got a real bad staph infection in my arm because I got cut on my arm and stuff, and swelled up, and literally almost lost my arm. And they were giving me, I don't know what they gave me. I was in a hospital.
Right.
You know, I was in Saudi Arabia in a hospital for 2 weeks. I don't know what they gave me. They said it was antibiotics. I mean, I'm not saying they didn't give me nothing but antibiotics, but you never know. You know what I mean? Like you just said, I couldn't even put it better myself, man. It's the sacrifices that people really don't see, you know, that all the troops go through. And it doesn't take but 2 seconds to say thank you for your service. And I'm not talking about me. I'm not looking for attention. My job now, I mean, I'm a veteran, and I've been through some things, and it made me a better person. It made me who I am today, and I don't regret a single thing. But my job, I feel in my heart and my mind, is to give back to the troops and the veterans. Just because I'm a veteran too, it don't matter. I want to give it back, and that's what I do through my wrestling and through my speeches and stuff like that I give to groups about, you know, even if it's elementary school, you know, second grade class, and, you know, there's only like 15, 20 people in the class, and I'm talking about bullying or something. But I feel that it's my job to keep attention, to get the awareness out, to and it only takes a couple of words, you know, and if everybody gets together, no matter what their opinion is, what their belief is, but if we come together as humans, human beings, doing the right thing, then, man, we could do something. We could definitely do something.
Well, I'm not just saying that, you know, I'm not just saying this because you're on the line and you're a veteran, but I don't think we do nearly enough for our veterans. And we're hearing, I don't know, I think it was the month of July, there was a record number of suicides in the military.
Yes. Yeah,
like every day there's one or two, you know, soldiers that are taking their own lives now, and people are like, well, why are they doing this? And to me, it's very obvious. I mean, these guys in the military are doing 5 or 6, 7, 8 tours over in war countries, Iran and Iraq, and seeing fighting every single day, or a part of fighting every single day.
Yeah, they're under fire
for months.
Yeah,
for months at a time. I mean, you're constantly being shot at, or you're shooting back, and then they put them on all these psychotropic drugs, and they bring them back, and they can't get jobs, and it's like, and then they wonder why these guys are committing suicide. And then I know, I think you said this before, but you have to just step back and say, you know, what are we fighting for? We've been in Afghanistan for 11 years. What have we accomplished?
Yeah, well,
we've been in Iraq. What have we accomplished?
Why would you
go
to another country and be at war with them for 11 years? What are you accomplishing? Gas prices going up? Because that's what's happening over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what are you accomplishing? What are you saving? What are you fighting for? There's everybody, if you ask somebody, just a random person off the street, they will have no idea. None. And that's why smarten yourself up out there. That's all people got to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great point with the gasoline prices. I mean, it's, you know, where I am, it's over $4 a gallon. And
yeah, here in Miami, in Davie, where I'm at right now, I'm in Davie right now, and it's like $3.95, man. Like, really?
You remember the Iraq war was, you know, we're going to go over to Iraq, get all this oil.
Yeah,
we didn't get the oil, did we? Where'd the oil go?
Yeah, what happened to that?
Maybe that's something to look into. You know,
yeah.
That was a... You know, all that middle, you know, Saudi Arabia, you know, back in the Gulf Wars, all this was all about oil. Well, we should have abundance amount of oil, and look at the gasoline prices.
Yeah, exactly. And who are we to take oil anyways from somebody else?
Well, I mean,
like,
it's
who are we?
I mean, we could use our own oil right here in the United States.
We actually have plenty of oil here in the United States that we don't even drill into yet.
Exactly.
But we're in other countries trying to take theirs. Don't get it.
Well, I think it's pretty obvious. I mean, they don't want you to drill it. They, you know, they have all this carbon taxes now, and you know, Al Gore needs his 15 airplanes and his 13 houses, and at the same time, you know, we penalize. I don't know about you, but not only your gasoline prices. I don't know if you checked your power prices lately.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going through the roof too. You know why? Because they're shutting down the power plants because of the carbon emissions.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't get cap and tax through in the Senate.
Yeah.
So Obama just said, well, I'll make an executive order, and the EPA says that carbon dioxide is a pollutant, which is ridiculous because plants breathe carbon dioxide. They need it part of in the atmosphere. So power plants that, you know, a coal power plants, they're being shut down because they can't keep up with the carbon emission penalties. So the only people that are making power through the coal is GE, because GE is exempted from all these taxes. And thus, you have a monopoly with power plants, and that's why your prices are going higher, because they're shutting down more and more of our power plants. Mm-hmm. While other countries are getting more and more power plants, we're getting less and less power plants, and that's the reason why your energy bills are going through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, they have a game plan, and they're definitely going through with it. And I gotta admit, they're doing it good, because they're playing their game, and they're not going astray from it. They're playing it good. And everybody's just going about their merry way, and I can't do nothing about it. Yeah, we can.
Well, I think this is one of the reasons we're doing this interview today. I think part of it is, you know, people want to hear about you and your situation, but at the same time, people are waking up to what's going on. And I think, you know, after 9/11, you know, we were all, our eyes were wide open after 9/11, and then within a short period of time, you know, once we went to war, we went back into our, you know, our I don't want to say coma, but we kind of went back to sleep. And while you were sleeping, you know, they passed the Patriot Act, where they can basically spy on us at any time. They watch us through our computers. They watch us through our phones. They got appliances that spy on you. Your TV can be spying on you.
And
you know,
they
have wiretaps, your phone calls. I mean,
the normal person in this world, they hear this and they're like, oh, that's just conspiracy talk.
Right.
No, that's open your eyes. That's not like, oh, I think they're doing this. They are doing this.
They admit they're doing this.
Yeah, they even come out and say they're doing this for our safety. Really? They're allowed to come into your house at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and arrest you, detain you, with no reason at all. None. And you have no right to a lawyer. You can't tell your family where you're at. Nothing. You will sit in a nice, freezing, cold cement room and be questioned about whatever they want. There's something wrong with that. What happened to the freedom? What happened to that little piece of paper that say we have, you know, our freedoms and our rights? What happened to that piece of paper? It's just nice, safe in a museum. It don't mean nothing anymore when that stuff's going on.
Due process. I mean, if you weren't paying attention to December 31st, about 6 in the evening, when most of the people, you know, it's New Year's Eve, people are out partying, and, you know, a New Year's coming in.
Yep.
Your president signed the National Defense Authorization Act, which allows them, if they suspect you're a terrorist, not can prove you're a terrorist, and you know it's so easy to plant anything on you anymore. They can get in your house, plant all kinds of stuff on you. They can plant stuff on your computer. They can plant stuff on your phone. If they suspect, if somebody tips them off and said, hey, I think my neighbor next door is, planning a terrorist attack, they call, and they can show up at your house. They can arrest you. As you said, no warrants, no attorneys, no trial. They can detain you indefinitely for as long as they want to. And what are they going to do with you? I don't know. Maybe a FEMA camp, something we've been hearing a lot about, that's basically admitted by Army documents. Yeah, the FEMA camps. Or they got Army documents that says there's re-education centers in America. You know, if they're a political dissident, if they don't like your speech or they don't like your political stance, they can send you a re-education center.
That's scary. Just to even think about stuff like a re-educational center. Just the name of it. Are you kidding me? What are you going to – now you're going to brainwash me? Now you're going to, you know, tell me what I should say and what I believe, and you know what I mean? That's – I mean, like take me for instance. Yeah, I'm. People know me that I'm not afraid to speak my mind when and wherever I am. I'm always, you know, I don't want to say too outspoken, because I'm still, you know, I tend to myself and stuff like that. But you know, when I'm asked, I answer. You know, and I've been busy working out, tanning, you know what I mean, wrestling. And who's to say they're going to come to my house if they can find me, which I doubt it. Well, I don't know. They're the government. The Big Brother's always watching, so I'm sure they know where I'm at.
They know your cell phone.
The cell phone, the new iPhones and all that tracking. Oh man, it's insane. And I'm sure they can be listening in right now. You know, it doesn't matter.
I'm sure
they can do whatever.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah,
I would bet they are right
now. Yeah, with me, yeah, I'm sure. They're always listening to me. But, like, I'm just working out. I work out, like, twice a day. I go jogging early in the morning. I tan. You know, I wrestle on the weekends. And they're going to come and take me and question me because I'm on a radio show talking about my opinions and stuff like that. You know, that's how serious it can be, you know. I mean, what am I going to do? Grab some weight from the gym and start my own stuff? Like, what is, you know what I mean? There's nothing there. You know, I'm just living my life, but I have an opinion, and that's what they're afraid of.
Well, I don't know. Again, while you're sleeping, you know, it used to be that the number one domestic terrorist in the country would be Al-Qaeda coming in, doing something domestically. But now, I don't know if anybody noticed, but Al-Qaeda runs Libya. We reunited with Libya. With Al-Qaeda to get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. So Gaddafi's gone because, you know, he wouldn't play ball with the globalists. He wanted, the globalists wanted him to have a Federal Reserve System, you know, the Rothschilds, like they do in every other country. Mm-hmm. In fact, there's only a few countries left that the Rothschilds don't have a Federal Reserve-type system in place. So Gaddafi got in the way. So Al-Qaeda, remember Al-Qaeda, 9/11?
Remember
them guys? Those were the bad guys back then, weren't they? They're the good. They're the good guys now. And I guess maybe there's good Al Qaeda, bad Al Qaeda. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they did a baby face turn. I'm not really sure. You know.
Everything
now,
can be related to wrestling.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about wrestling always makes me laugh is New World Order and WCW when
there is
a New World Order and Ted Turner, who is a globalist, who is a eugenist, who believes in world population reduction.
Yeah.
Had a group in his own wrestling company called the New World Order. And what were they trying to do?
Take over. Yep. Get everybody what they believe in. Everything can be related to wrestling.
Yeah. I mean, while you're sleeping, suddenly Al-Qaeda is our friends. There's a story that the Al-Qaeda leader met with the Pentagon after 9/11, with the Secretary of the Army. No big deal, right? Hey,
yep.
We're looking for all these, you're going to all these foreign countries looking for what the top 10 wanted list of Al-Qaeda. And the Al-Qaeda guy comes over and meets the Pentagon, but don't pay attention to that. And then, suddenly, Al-Qaeda's our friends in Libya because we can get rid of Muammar Gaddafi. And suddenly, Al-Qaeda's not a threat anymore. I don't know if anybody's even paying attention, but if you read Homeland Security documents, the number one threat in the United States is not Al-Qaeda. It is returning veterans.
Yes.
The guy over there, those guys over there fighting for our freedoms,
mm-hmm.
They're our number one threat domestically. They could come back and hurt us. So Jesse, yeah. I guess Jesse, you might come out, you might come back and hurt me now because you're number one threat according to Homeland Security.
People, when they see the Mohawk, they better be scared because you never know.
Well, they probably are, but maybe for a different reason, right? And of course, while everybody was sleeping too, they put in the TSA. They grope you and they grope your little kid.
God.
They grope your granny. They take
now.
Your urology bags off. Private rooms.
Through an airport security. You look at these guys. And I mean, everybody has a job, and that's great. They're working. They're not, unemployed or anything. At least they're working and stuff. But where do they get these people at? You know what I mean? Like, these people are running these machines that basically see us naked. Like, literally, you can see everything on a woman and a man. And you got somebody in the back just looking it on a screen. That's scary sometimes. I mean, I'm not ashamed of, whoever gave me whatever I got. I ain't ashamed of it at all. But, for somebody that I don't even know, that I don't, have nothing to do with, is seeing me naked, at least pay me. You know what I mean? At least pay me first. But, I mean, of course, every time I go through an airport, they stop me and stuff, and they got to look through my bag, and, all wrestlers have that same problem and stuff. But it's like the people, and even the stories with, like, the pregnant women or even women with the, like, little kids, you know what I mean? They're, like, almost strip-searching little babies and little kids, you know what I mean? That, come on.
Yes.
You're checking a mom's formula or breast milk for a kid. You're going to make – the mom pour out the breast milk, that's for their baby, for the plane ride, just because you think there's something in it? Come on, there's something there. I mean, people, they think they have authority, they think they have the power and stuff, and they take it way overboard. And come on, that's just ridiculous. And of course, we do need security. We need that, all good and stuff. But, a lot of people, obviously you can't control everybody, and they just take it overboard, and it's sickening how they do. And I've seen some of the videos and stuff of like little kids screaming, man, just screaming. And they're little kids. There's nothing, you know, there's not a bomb strapped to their chest. There's nothing, you know what I mean? I mean, and they're sitting there patting them down. Are you like, seriously? Like, this is the America that I grew up in? No, I didn't think so. But I guess it is now.
And again, while we sleep, I don't know, I saw it on the Republican National Committee, the Democratic National Conference.
Yeah.
They were, the TSA were there patting people down. So, you know, to me, this is not about, you know, getting on an airplane and being safe. They got domestic, they're bringing the domestic TSA checkpoints to highways near you. So if you think, oh, I'm just not going to fly, I'll get past it.
Right.
They're going to be at the shopping malls. They're going to be
everywhere.
At the stadiums, the football games
you
go to.
They're
They'll be
they're
everywhere.
There.
Yeah. Oh,
I
yeah.
Mean,
oh,
I remember
sure.
when I was a little kid, my mom would take me to an airport and go all the way to the gate with me. Give me a kiss and a hug and see you later, you know, be safe. Now, half of them can't even get in the building. Like it's, and then, like you said, it's not just the airport. They're everywhere, everywhere we look. I mean, we go from all the way back then and literally no security whatsoever, you know, until now. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. Like I said before, we do need security. But this ain't just security for our safety. This is control. And people need to open their eyes and see this. And I know I'm beating it to death about opening your eyes, but they really do about a lot of things. Like just, I mean, I'm not, I mean, some people call me a conspirator, or like, oh, you believe in all the conspiracies and all, anybody would know. I have my own opinions about things. It's just opening your eyes and look at, and TSA is everywhere. And who controls TSA? Well, obviously, don't the CIA, they're involved in the government. And I mean, it's just scary what they believe is what's called security. It's just scary.
What's so obvious? I mean, it's in plain view. They hide things in plain view.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of it is to see what will America put up with? What will they push back on? And right now, they're pushing TSA right down our throats.
Yep.
And yeah, there's some pushback. Obviously, Jesse Ventura filed a lawsuit against it. Yes, you see that where that got
on. By the way, Jesse
Ventura
is
right
the man. I just want to put that out there.
I totally agree with you. He is the man. And we're going to have him as a guest on again real soon, so look for that. But,
that's awesome.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they push us down our throats, TSA, and it's not even about, you know, flying airplanes anymore. And it's to acclimate you. If they can grope your woman,
mm-hmm.
if they can grope your wife,
yeah.
if they can grope granny, if they can, you know, manhandle your kids, and you'll put up with it.
Yep.
It's only going to get worse.
Yeah, I had a friend.
And if you don't fight back now, it's only going to get worse. And it is getting worse.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine. She's a model, and like literally, like I seen her in tears, crying because she got picked out of a crowd and literally groped, like they were just feeling all over her, and like literally she was in tears when she was telling me this stuff. And it's crazy, man. Like, I mean, I've never been groped before. Why can't I?
At least give me a good-looking woman, right?
Yeah, exactly. give me a good-looking TSA agent. Okay, whatever you need. Safety of the country first, I understand.
Well, I tell you, I don't remember who it was. It was a Miss America candidate or somebody, or Miss USA. I can't remember who it was, but there was somebody that got groped by the TSA, and it was by the same sex. You know, she was a female, and she said there was no doubt what was her sexual preference.
Right. There was a video on YouTube about that, wasn't there? Like, she interviewed right after it happened and stuff.
Right, right. Yeah,
yep.
So, I mean, they have hired pedophiles for TSA. It's
mm-hmm.
it's on record. They hired a priest that got kicked out of the priesthood because he was molesting boys, and he got a job for the TSA. So this is not all about security. I mean, who would want a job, honestly? And I know people are needing jobs out there. 50 million Americans, whatever it is, don't even have a job anymore.
Right.
But who would want a job where you have to grope people? You have to take colostomy bags off, you know, the sick. Take diapers off granny to search them. Take breast milk and test their breast milk. Who would want that sort of job in America anymore?
Right.
I mean, really.
I mean, I understand people are getting desperate, like more and more desperate now and stuff like that. But still, like, it's just everybody. I don't care who you are. Everybody has a conscience. I know people like, oh, I don't have a conscience. I can do it. Yeah, you do. Everybody has it. It's called being a human being, and everybody is one. You know, well, sometimes people ain't, but you know what I mean. Like, they all have it, and they all know. And it's like, what is going on in the world when people like that are doing stuff like that? I don't understand it.
And I think you meant, I don't remember if you made the point here, if it was when we were talking offline, that a lot of people think, well, I'm just one person, you know, what can I do?
Right, yeah.
And I think part of the reason that you and I are having this conversation is to wake people up. And if you hear this information and you question it, look it up. I mean, we're not trying to say, believe what we believe. I mean, look this stuff. If you don't believe that they're hiring pedophiles, look it up. You can find the article to it.
Yeah,
if you don't, if you don't believe me that they hired a priest that was kicked out of the priesthood because he molested kids, look it up. You're going to find the article. It's out there.
Exactly. Just open your eyes. You know, do the research. If you're if listen to this and really interested in it, look it up yourself. Create your own opinions from what you see and read.
Yeah, take this podcast and share it with other people. Let them listen to it. You know, I'll tell you the honest to God's truth, and I've said this before on one of my shows. After 9/11, or actually I should say pretty much my whole life until maybe, I don't know, maybe the last election or so, I was a card-carrying Republican.
Yeah.
I was a Republican. I was a conservative. I was a, you know, that's what I believed in, limited government, limited, you know, spending. And I was a George Bush supporter.
Yeah.
I voted for him twice. I thought he was a good president.
So it's your fault.
I guess it was my fault.
And then, just a joke.
all those years, I was hearing these people say, you know, Steve, you should check out this film, or you should check out this book, or listen to this interview. That 9/11, there was something fishy about it. And I'm thinking, oh, right, come on.
Yeah.
The government is going to blow up those trade towers. I mean, just get out of here. You guys, and I mean, you watch the media, 9/11 truthers, they're idiots.
Yeah.
The birthers, if you believe that Obama was born outside the United States, you're a birther. You're an idiot. You're a complete moron.
Yeah.
This is the things you got to get rid of, is get rid of the NBC, CBS, Fox, ABC. They're all corporate controlled. They have an agenda. They're pushing carbon taxes and tyranny on you. And you are like, oh, I guess that's the way it is. And then, you know, I don't remember what film it was or who what it was, but something just said, okay, let me watch this. Let me see what they're talking about. And I watched one film, and I said, well, that's kind of interesting. I guess it's possible. I don't know. It seems far-fetched, but let me watch something else. Let me read some more. Let me talk to somebody. And suddenly you start building a database, and you're like, you know, the pieces fit together. I mean, to this day, I have no idea exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Nobody does.
Nobody
does. I mean, well, somebody does, but nobody's willing to talk about it. But if nothing else, the official story makes zero sense.
Right.
I mean, looking back at it, nothing adds up. You've had architects and engineers come forward. There's a documentary where these guys are PhDs. They've been
20, 30 years.
Yeah, they've been building buildings, designing buildings, and they're telling you there is no possible way 9/11 happened as they told you on television.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, I mean, these people are PhDs. They're putting their reputations on the line.
They're not idiots.
Just the average Joe on the street, you know, working at Walmart and say, oh, I see 9/11's inside job. Huh?
Right.
No, these are trained people that have designed buildings that have been part of constructions, and they know that the 9/11 narrative that we're told is incorrect. It's physically impossible. And yet, you know, I'm seeing a lot, like on Facebook and Twitter, you know, 9/11, we remember, we never forget. And yet, you know, today I was telling you offline is to a larger degree we have forgotten, because World Trade Center 7, which I think is the biggest smoking gun of the whole conspiracy theory.
Yes.
5% of people that were surveyed even remember that there was another building other than Trade Tower 1 or 2 or the North or South Tower that fell on that day at 520, 47 stories tall, World Trade Center 7, steel building about a football field away from Towers 1 and 2, collapsed on itself, free fall.
Perfect demolition.
Wasn't hit by a plane.
It had a little bit of fire. Yeah.
Because, you know, steel buildings fall all the time from fires.
Right.
So, but out of nowhere, at 520, this building falls. There's footage on TV where cops are telling people, stand back, this building's coming down.
Yep.
We have the BBC, 20 minutes before that building fell, reported that World Trade Center 7 had collapsed.
And you see it in the background.
And you see in the background that the woman is talking about it, that it's collapsed, and yet it's still standing there. And they're reporting that it had collapsed. And, like, again, you know, we never forget. We'll never forget. No disrespect to those people, but
right.
I think a lot of it you have forgotten because that happened at 5:20. You know, this was what Trade Tower 1 or 2 was, what, 9 in the morning, 10 in the morning. But by the afternoon, we're all focused on the towers. We're all focused on the Pentagon. We're all focused about the plane that crashed in Pennsylvania. And then all of a sudden, 47 stories falls, and we don't remember that at all.
Right.
In fact, I tell people that, and they're like, I don't remember another building falling.
Right, yeah. A lot of people don't even know anything about it. Nothing.
It did.
Yeah.
Right in plain view. And then I remember right after that, the Trade Tower lease owner, Silverman, did an interview on PBS, and he said, yeah, they had to pull the building.
Yeah, pull it.
He said, we have to pull it. And what does pull it mean? Demolish it.
Yep.
Controlled demolition.
Yep.
Yeah, they pulled it. And if to me, if they pulled those buildings, why wouldn't you think they put explosives in the other buildings and took those down too?
And you know what? Like I always said, like everything can be compared to wrestling. If this happened, like a storyline, not so tragic and stuff like that, but something like this and the mistakes that happened on 9/11 and because of 9/11 happened in the wrestling business, you know how many people would be uproared about all the mistakes and be on the dirt sheets about this person messed up here, that person messed up there. Why can't they be that in real life too? You know, I mean, there was so many obvious mistakes that happened, and just people just they don't listen to it because they believe what they hear on TV. They believe what these newscasters are saying because if they say it, it must be true. Like, oh, I read it on the internet, it must be true. No, you go by it and you just get knowledgeable about it. You smarten yourself up about it, create your own opinions about it. But they believe it because Building 7 was not all the way all over the news. The only time it was in the news is when they said it was down, and it wasn't even down, so they mistaked it, and they shut up about it. And then just like at the Pentagon, they're talking about a plane hit it. A plane did not hit the Pentagon. If you ever, I mean, people look at plane crashes. They don't just disintegrate a 757 all the way. Oh, but jet fuel. Wow, jet fuel must be a powerful fuel because it's doing everything, taking down skyscrapers. Disintegrating 757s like never happened. How many pieces of the plane did they find? Where were the engines? I worked on those gas turbine engines. There's going to be big pieces of them left, no matter what kind of explosion. I mean, we had 1,000 pounds of C4 rock our ship, but all of our stuff was there still, even if it was demolished and in pieces and stuff. We still had it. We still had the stuff. We still could identify most of it. You know, there would have been pieces there, just like the plane that crashed in the field. Where were all the pieces? It was scattered over how many miles? Yeah, that's a good thing about getting shot down. That scatters everything. You know what I mean? And I might be going on to something that's really confident or what's the word? I can't even think of the word now. It's like
controversial.
There you go. It's more than five letters. I don't know what it means.
Are you public school educated?
Yes, and I drink faucet water. Yes,
fluoride water.
But I mean, you know, there's going to be pieces there. I mean, you see plane crashes that hit mountains and stuff like that aren't going to gain the country and make them go to war. You see big pieces of them. You see, you know, even the littlest things left, but all they found was like so-called IDs and stuff like that on the ground, and they didn't find like big machinery or metal or, you know what I mean? They didn't find any of that stuff.
The biggest fallacy was right after the first, I think it was the first tower got hit.
After
it fell, they found a ID of one of the passengers. Of course, it was supposed to be one of the terrorists.
Yeah.
So through 93 stories and the plane that blew up and fell to the ground, that they found an ID intact, wasn't burned up, and just happens to have one of the names of the so-called hijackers on there.
Yeah, I really don't do that.
And, of course, you're talking about that jet fuel. If you will go back and watch the footage, when the plane hits and that big ball that pops up, like a big basketball, that's the jet fuel. That was the jet fuel burning off. Yeah. It didn't go in the buildings and knock the core columns down. The core columns held the building up.
Yeah.
So when that big ball of jet fuel, remember, all you heard about was, well, they they kidnapped or hijacked a plane from Boston to Los Angeles because it was fueled full of jet fuel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as soon as it hits the building and that big basketball full of gas is released, that's the jet fuel. It's not taking down the building.
Right. It's already burned off.
I mean, honestly, that building would have to burn for days and days for that much steel to melt. And then obviously, you know, there's always the theory that jet fuel can't get as hot to melt steel.
Yeah, they were saying that, weren't they? That jet fuel can only burn to a certain degree and that doesn't burn steel. Yeah, I saw that too, and that should open people's eyes too, but they don't. It doesn't. I don't understand it. But then again, you know, people are allowed to have their own opinions. That's why they call it the United States of America. You're allowed to have your own opinion. You know, if you don't believe it, you don't believe it. If you know, you're going to believe whatever you want. So I guess
I think
go both ways.
I agree with what you said there. You know, you can believe what you want, but it kind of brings it back to last year. Last year was the 10th anniversary, and they had the memorial there at the 9/11 Ground Zero, and there was a lot of first responders that wanted to go, and they told them to stay home because a lot of them are sick. A lot of them in fact, a lot of them died from breathing the asbestos and all the dust.
There was a lot
from cleaning up all that debris.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of officials, you know, they work for us, they're officials. But there were a lot of officials that were telling them, well, you don't need a mask, you'll be okay. And there was people, in fact, I remember it was one of those 9/11 stories probably you saw on Nat Geo, where it was two brothers, one had a mask on and he's doing fine. The other one, of course, breathes all that garbage.
Yep.
He's had so many surgeries, they had to take a lung out. The guy is clinging for his life.
Yeah.
And it's because He didn't get a mask.
Right.
And I guess they had these masks, like, I don't know, 5 miles away or whatever. They didn't go down and get them. They didn't get them back for, like, the next couple of days. So there was a lot of workers that were working without masks and just breathing all that stuff. And a lot of them got cancer from all that garbage they were breathing in the air. And then, you know, a lot of those first responders, they do question the official story.
Yeah.
So when it came time to honor these guys are heroes.
Yeah,
and they told him, no, I think you should stay home. You're not invited.
Unspoken hero.
Not invited.
Yeah.
Invited. They should be the first people out there.
Right. Oh, exactly.
I mean, along with the victim families. I mean, those are the people we're honoring.
Yeah.
That we're remembering, you know, and the first responders, they're not welcome because maybe they questioned the story or they had trouble getting their health care. That the government, you know, said you had to jump through all these hoops to get your health care. It's like the veterans, they come back. You think they can get good health care for the veterans? A lot of these veterans have to jump through hoops to get their health care benefits.
Yep. I don't even have my health care yet because I haven't even – I mean, I should go down there and do it, but I still haven't even done it yet because it's all the hoops and stuff like that we got to jump through. It's crazy.
So if you – and again, you know, we're not trying to persuade your opinion or you can believe what you want to believe. But for those that just say, well, it's impossible. The government can't do it. Remember, the government – has been caught on Fast and Furious. They've shipped guns down to the Mexican drug lords.
Mm.
You got insider trading with these Congress people that are making millions and millions of dollars. You know, they could take a $100,000 job and then suddenly they're worth $20 million because they insider trade. They know which way to bet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
You got Obama. Obama's telling the Congress that the troops are under UN control. He doesn't need approval for war from Congress because he's under UN control, which is, of course, treason.
Very, very,
you know,
scary with that.
You got chemtrails. I don't know if you heard about this, but Homeland Security bought 1.4 million rounds of ammo. Billion.
Wow.
What are they buying all this ammo for?
Well, it's to stock up the FEMA camps and to keep us nice and safe when things hit the fan, you know what I mean? We're supposed to be safe in the FEMA camps.
Yeah, so they got drones in the air flying over us, spying us. You got GMO, fluoride in the water, vaccines that make you sick.
Yep.
FEMA camps, training camps, or re-education camps. Yet, the government loves you.
Yeah.
They couldn't possibly do something
they're there for us.
they grope us at the airports because they love us, don't you know? They
at least buy me dinner or something first. I mean, Jesus. Go out for a nice meal and then, you know, okay, there you go. Now you can have my life and body. Go ahead. It's all yours.
Yeah, so for those people out there, and God bless you on Facebook, they're putting up those memorials that say, we'll never forget, we remember. Just remember the whole situation. Don't remember just those towers falling, because that's what, in your mind, that's the first thing that comes to mind. You think 9/11, you think the towers falling.
Yeah,
it was more than the towers falling. Go back and look at the footage. Go back and look at World Trade Center 7. Go back and look at the Pentagon. I mean, where's the footage of the Pentagon?
The
most secure building in the United States, and they don't have any footage of that plane hitting the building?
Yeah, and that got brought up in a conversation a couple of days ago. And a guy at the gym, I think it was, and we were talking about it. And I'm like, there's only one more building, I believe, that's more secure than the Pentagon, and that's, Fort Knox? Because, you know, we got to protect the money because that's what makes the world go round. And, where's the footage, man? Like, even, what was it, a couple blocks away at a hotel, they had footage of it, but it was confiscated.
Like, well, there was a lot of people shooting footage, and they came in and confiscated all the cameras.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, for investigation. Well, where's the investigation at? Where's the proof that a plane hit that building? I mean, it's a perfect circle that goes through there, and there's no, the wingspan, there's no damage for the wingspan. For one, where are the wings? Because that didn't really blow up. I mean, it blew up because it was something else. It wasn't a plane. I mean, I honestly, truly believe it wasn't a plane. That's my beliefs. That's my opinion on it. But because there's just too many holes in their story. Like, there's nothing of a plane being damaged or blown up or crashed or anything on the ground. Nothing. And plus,
never found an engine
in the wing. They were doing construction there. And they had a fire drill, I think. I heard something about some fire drill, but you never know what kind of stories come out of it. But there was obviously construction in that wing there. And, I mean, I always go back to, you know, like, everybody's going to have their own story and their own voice and stuff like that, which is great. But open your eyes. Look at the evidence that you can actually see. Where is the damaged plane? Where are the pieces? And I know I was going back to that. Because it's the obvious thing. It's nobody's opinion. It's something you can open your eyes and look at. There is no video, which, whatever, that's fine. You know, they're doing an investigation. They only let before and after pictures from the guard stand, whatever. But where are the pieces of the plane? Where? Where'd they go?
And a couple more things, just, you know, food for thought.
Yeah.
As you know, remember this. The day before 9/11, on September the 10th, 2011, Donald Rumsfeld said that $2.3 trillion were missing from the Pentagon. $2.3 trillion with a T.
Yeah,
the next day, the Pentagon was hit by an airplane, so-called airplane.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money to mistakenly sweep under the rug and lose it.
And the 9/11 Commission, they spent about three or four times more money investigating the Bill Clinton Monica Lewinsky situation.
Yes.
Than 9/11.
Yeah, and I've heard that. That's insane.
And then the guy, Lee Hamilton, who was the co-chair of that commission, said, you know, we were set up to fail. They gave us limited resources. They gave us limited time. And then, of course, when it came time to interview, or I should say, put George Bush and Dick Cheney under oath to testify, they said they wouldn't testify. They would agree to an interview if they were together at the same time.
Right.
Which, of course, a part of an investigation is you ask the same questions as different people and get different responses.
Right, exactly.
That's an investigation.
Can't have them,
right?
In the same room. I mean, hasn't people watched CSI? I mean, I watched CSI. It's a really good show. They don't
interview suspects.
Together.
They don't put them all together in one room and say, "Okay, let's start talking now."
Yeah, let's have a conversation so we're on the same page here. No, yeah. You don't do that. it's so that's what we said before. It's so obvious and so in front of your face. Just watch CSI, people. You'll know how to investigate stuff.
And another one, too, is that always gets me is the cell phone calls.
Yeah.
The cell phones don't work on airplanes. They still don't.
Did you hear the one where it was a lady on the plane, one of the planes, I forget which one. I don't know the details of it, but I remember the conversation. It's kind of eerie where she's talking to her loved one and stuff and, you know, saying her last goodbyes or whatever because she knows it's it. But she doesn't hang up the phone right away. And as soon as, you know, she takes the phone away and you can hear something in the background and it says, good job, and it hangs up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it's
– wow. You
know, like I said, I don't know if it's real or if it's not, but it sends goosebumps up my spine and it's crazy, man. It's just – like I said, we're allowed to have our own opinions and we have a voice. We people just need to start using it, you know?
And that's my only point as we end this today is, you know, God bless the victims, the families, the first responders, the policemen, the firefighters, the military people that's fought for our freedoms, that's protected us. but don't forget what really happened. I think that's the most important thing. If we take away anything out of this today is, you know, if somebody tells you, I think 9/11 is an inside job, just don't pass it off. Yeah. Investigate it. Look at it. I mean, I for so long thought 9/11 truthers were a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
I thought, no way, a government's going to blow up these buildings. But if you are willing to accept pretty much anything's possible, and I think you've seen so many impossible things happen in our lives,
mm-hmm.
that if you're willing to, at least in your mind, accept that anything is possible, the government is a mafia. I mean, look at Chicago. Everybody knows that Chicago is a mafia.
Yeah.
Why do you think the United States government is any different, especially when you've got Obama, who came from Chicago with Rahm Emanuel and all those guys over there?
Yeah.
Now they're in charge of the U.S. government. They got caught in Fast and Furious shipping guns to Mexican drug lords that have resulted in the deaths of some of our border agents down there.
Yeah.
What makes you think that if they're responsible for that, why couldn't they be responsible for anything else that's happened in the world? I mean,
right.
Really?
Yeah.
If they're capable of that and willing to do that, what else are they willing to do that we don't even know about?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-boggling, you know. So if nothing else, open your mind. You know, it's so easy to watch ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN. And again, there was a story, too, not to totally change the subject, but there was a reporter that just came out from CNN and said, yeah, you know, we're basically told what to say and what not to say, what to cover, what not to cover.
Yeah.
So if you're thinking that, well, I get all my truth from CNN, I get all my truth from Fox News, if it's not on there, it can't be right. Well, I mean, they have their own agendas. I mean,
right.
You look at Disney owns ABC, GE owns NBC, and of course, GE, as I said before, with the carbon taxes and the power plants, they're in bed with the government. So obviously, they're going to push the agenda of tyranny and global warming because they're making money from it.
Exactly.
Of course, they're going to push it. So
everybody's got a boss. Everybody's got an agenda, and no matter what it is, how high profile it is, or whatever, everybody's got one.
So there's alternative news sources out there. You have to look for them. But there's some good news sources out there. Like the Drudge Report, I think, is probably the most famous one, the most popular.
Yeah.
Where they report, they don't put any spin on it. They just put the articles out there and let you read it. And if you think one way or the other, I mean, they put it out there for you. You
and
know?
That's the good thing about it is that, you know, everything that we see on TV it's like one-sided. But if you look at certain things, they just put what happened out there, and they let you have your opinion. I think that's what we've been talking about this whole time is that, you know, people need to have their own opinion, either if it's this way or that way or conspiracy or non-conspiracy or this guy, that guy, whatever. At least have your own opinion about things, you know, have your own beliefs, have your own opinion. And, you know, can't go wrong with it.
And one final thought about the media. There was, I think it was either the flu shot. It was one of the shots. Of course, a lot of the vaccines has Marisol in it, Thimerosal, which is basically mercury.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you get a flu shot.
Doesn't mercury kill people?
This. Yeah, I mean, I think one study was, I think if you get three flu shots in consecutive years, your chances of getting the Alzheimer's is like 50% higher or something like that.
Yep.
So I mean, look at these studies. But it was a news story on television. They were trying to say that mercury isn't bad for you because they want you to take these shots. So the government must have said, hey, people are starting to hear a little bit about these vaccines. Why don't you put a little spin on that and say, well, mercury, it's not that bad. In fact, it might be okay for you.
It's good for you.
You know, fluoride's okay. GMO's okay. Aspartame in your diet drinks and your gum. In fact, I don't know if – try to find a pack of gum that doesn't have aspartame in it.
Yeah,
that's a challenge
for
you because you know what aspartame is. It's chemicals. It's more garbage for us.
Kind of bad for you, too. But here.
Yeah.
Good.
That's the
here.
FDA. They approve all these chemicals that are killing us. And they love us. They take care of us. You know?
Yeah. Exactly. I love it.
Well, Jesse, I know I'd love to have you back on again sometime. That we've had you on a couple times already. And, of course, the archives are up at GerWick.net. And they can also go to iTunes and download the podcast that we did with you. And I told you this offline that there's been a number of people that have come forward and said the interviews you did with Jesse Neal and Brian Kendrick are the most entertaining to listen to because, we talk wrestling, but at the same time we're talking so interesting how we paralleled everything to wrestling.
It is. Ever since I started wrestling, everything relates to wrestling. That's why it's
Isn't
my
that
world.
Something?
It's my world.
Yeah, so so I've got so many interviews, or so many people talk about our interviews with you and Brian Kendrick. I got to get Brian Kendrick back on too.
Oh yeah, Brian Kendrick's a trip, man. He was awesome to work with and just be around and talk to, man. That man is very intelligent.
Yeah, definitely. And of course, they were telling me those interviews you did with Jesse Neal and Brian Kendrick, those are the best ones you've done. You know, get them back on. So I thought, you know, 9/11, Jesse was in the military.
Yep.
He's a hero. He's a veteran. We got to get him back on. Of course, we like to, of course, update people on what you're up to as well. So,
oh yeah. Well,
thank you for so much for doing, and thank you not only for your service, but thank you for being a patriot and telling it like it is. Because there's so many people I think that would like to speak out. I think there's a lot of people out there that know a lot of this, but they're afraid to say anything. Oh, my friends might think I'm a weirdo, or my friends might think I'm an idiot if I possibly think that government could be involved in 9/11.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't stand up for your freedoms, you're going to lose them, because look at every day, as you were talking about that piece of paper, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they're being shredded every day.
Yep.
If you don't stand up for your freedoms, they're going to be gone, because if you don't stand up for them, who will?
Exactly.
You can't expect everybody else to do the – I mean, look at Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
I mean, he's fighting, and they're just shutting him down left and right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, thank
still
God.
Getting back up and still fighting.
Yeah, thank God his conspiracy theory is going to be back for a third season. I don't know how much they watered it down. Probably
that's a thing.
But, I mean, you know, if you don't fight for your freedoms, if you don't fight for your First Amendment, if you don't fight for your Second Amendment and, you know, carry a gun or believe somebody should have a gun in case – your neighbor comes a knocking, or it's the feds coming knocking.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
You always gotta, and it always goes back to you gotta protect your own. You know, and no matter what kind of level it gets to, you always gotta protect your own, your family, yourself. You know, and that's just the way it is, man.
Absolutely. Well, Jesse, we appreciate the time. We'll definitely do this again sometime.
Definitely.
In closing, why don't you go ahead and plug upcoming shows, your social media, and I think you have a business interest as well you're doing currently too, aren't you?
I'm doing all kinds of things now. So
you,
definitely,
you are.
Everybody
Update
that's
us.
Listening, definitely tune in. I'm working hard. I'm reinventing myself, and definitely people are – it's definitely going to pique people's interest, especially with what's going on in the world and the wrestling world, really. I definitely plan on turning the wrestling business upside down and rocking it pretty good for the fans and stuff. And a couple of shows coming up, like I said earlier, FOW, September 22nd, Deerfield, Florida. I'm going up to New York and Vermont at the end of the month, so definitely tune in. Y'all can always keep track with me on Twitter, @TheJesseNeal. I'm always on there every day. Who knows what I'm talking about? Whatever I feel like, I guess, I talk about it. But definitely keep in touch. Write me there. I'm also on Tout now. I've been doing some videos just to reach out to the fans. Definitely message back. It's a good way to talk to the wrestlers and get feedback from them and stuff. And it gives a voice to the fans. And I think that's what I love Tout about the most, is that you have a voice with the face and everything. It's really good. And that's The Jesse Neal too. Sorry guys, I don't have a Facebook, but on Twitter and Tout, it's The Jesse Neal, and you can definitely keep in touch with me there. And I definitely got some big things coming up in the near future, so definitely keep watching.
Do you want to plug your business ventures there as well?
Not yet.
Okay.
But
Fair enough.
Some good things. Had a couple of meetings and some really good things coming out of it too. So it's definitely some good stuff.
Well, keep us posted, and we'll definitely talk to you again real soon.
Will do. I appreciate it. It's been an honor. Always is, man. Thank you. And always remember, everybody listening, remember who came before us, and we're actually leading the way. You know, they built the path. Now we're going down it. Always have a voice, and thank God for the troops, and always remember the veterans, and it's just support each other, man. That's the thing. And have life, live life, and have fun doing it. So,
amen. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, man. You too.